We're going to look back at Acts chapter 4 this evening. Acts chapter 4 and verse 32. We're going to kind of finish this chapter, but not really. And the reason I say not really is because the end of this chapter goes with chapter 5. And so next Sunday we'll get to the very end and put that in with chapter 5, which is where we need to go. But tonight there's some things I want us to concentrate and focus on, beginning in verse 32. Verse 32, we're going to read verses 32 through the rest of the chapter. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God in respect to the Word of God? Verse 32 says, "Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. They distributed to each as anyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the privilege of looking into your word that we may grow in our relationship with you and in our service to you. Lord, I pray that as we examine your word that Jesus would be our focus and that, Lord, you would be honored by the things that are said. But Lord, help us not only to just read and understand, but help us, Lord, to apply. That we may grow, that we may make a difference in this world in which we live. That we may make disciples for your glory. Lord, we pray your will be done in all things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Guess if I give this message tonight a title, that title would be The Church United. There was a very unique bond in the church at Jerusalem at this point. A bond that, I don't know, it's above and beyond what you see in today's churches. And this bond is described there in verse 32 when it says, "Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul." Now, if you're not real careful, you'll just breeze through that. But I want us to take the time to consider what that means. The words heart and soul. See, there's a difference there. If there wasn't a difference there, Luke wouldn't have put it in here. And so, when we consider one heart or the word heart, that's the idea of that is the center of all operations of the human life. It's the feelings, the motivations, the desires, the thoughts, and it's everything going on the inside. When it says they were of one heart, it means that they were all thinking, they were all motivated, they were all acting, they were all feeling the same thing. When it says they were of one soul, that's a little more difficult to describe. That word soul, it literally means being. It's deeper than just the word life. It means your existence. It's, to put it, I don't know any other way to put it, it's who you are. So they were one in their operations or their motivations, their actions, and they were one in who they were. When people would look at them, they would know these guys are not normal compared to the normal life. See, God gave them a unity, and I think this is a unity that only God can give. When we talk about church unity, we kind of feel like, well, if we get along, you know, and we're not fighting, that's church unity. No, it's not. Church unity is a bond of heart and soul, that our very beings are knit together by our Heavenly Father. Listen, we can have an organization for a church. We can have the administration of a church. We can have all that stuff and still not have this unification that's described in Acts chapter 4. But we need this part. To be a church, this is what we need. We need to be identified together. Have the same soul, I mean. And we need to have the same desires, the same thoughts, that we're all on the same track. That's what these guys were. As a matter of fact, they were so much united together, it says that none said anything he possessed was his own. I want you to think about that just a moment. None said anything he possessed was his own. As a matter of fact, all who had houses and lands sold them and brought the proceeds and laid them at the apostles' feet. Now, just so we get it out from the very beginning, do not sell what you have and bring and lay it at my feet. I don't want you to do that, right? But I want you to think about the dedication that was required to do that. How very selfless their attitude had to be. Nobody held on to anything. They were like, you know, there's a need. I'll sell my property. Here's the proceeds. You do what you need to do with it. Use it for the preaching of the word, for the furtherance of the ministry. They didn't even need to control where it went afterwards. By that, I mean they didn't give it and say, you use this for... They didn't do that. Why? Because they weren't holding on to it. They sold, they brought it to the apostles and said, do what needs to be done. And this is a great attitude, but understand, I understand that nowhere in the Bible is there such a command that the believers should sell everything that they have and lay it at the pastor's feet, or the deacon's feet, or the church leader's or church elder's feet. They were not commanded to do that. And as a matter of fact, it causes a problem just a little bit later on. As the apostles were given the task of distributing that, taking care of people and taking care of the widows. And later on, they find people complaining that the widows were not being cared for. And so the apostles said, whoa, wait a minute. Y'all select somebody to take care of this. We're going to give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. And so I don't want you to think we should all sell everything and throw it into one pot. That's not the idea. But the idea is the selfless nature of the people of that church at that time. They were so busy caring for one another. They were so busy preaching the gospel that they had no time to worry about self. Have you ever noticed when churches get in trouble is when members start thinking about themselves? What I want, what I think, what I need. And we get that me attitude. And you know, how often have you heard somebody say, well, I don't like that? Well, the question is not, do you like it or do I like it? The question is that, does God approve of it? And there was that attitude that they were holding on to nothing on this earth. But everything they had, heart, soul, material possessions, were going toward the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There were no power struggles at that point in the church. There was no arguing. There was no one trying to get their way. It's very amazing. What's really amazing is that at that time, this was not just a few believers. This was somewhere, it was at least 8,000, and it's estimated it was probably closer to 10 or 15,000 people. And they all had this mentality. Whereas the important thing was the mission, the furtherance of the gospel. Everyone wanted the same thing. Can you imagine if we all wanted the same thing? Can you imagine, and it goes back to my message this morning, the one thing they wanted was what? That they would be able to speak the word with all boldness. That they could be free and speak freely of Jesus Christ. Should that not be our desire? Absolutely. And look at the result. The result here, it says, with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. When we as a church are united in heart and soul, when we have the same desire, and I'm talking about the desire of preaching the gospel and sharing Jesus, when we're all in one accord there, we're all praying for the same thing, great things are going to happen. God's going to bless. You see, I think that the key is we have to let go of the stuff and focus on what's really important. And if you'll notice, okay, it says that with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. It wasn't because of the power of the apostles that they were being successful. It was because of the church. It was because the church was in one accord and they were one in heart and soul. It was because the church was praying God would give them boldness in speaking the word. They were all praying for the same thing, agreed on the same thing. And the apostles were preaching with power. Now I want us to stop right here. And I want you to consider myself and your church staff. Do you realize that my success as a pastor depends very much upon you as a member? I can study, I can pray, but when you are in one accord and have that same desire and are praying for me, I can feel it. It goes much better. The messages are better. The ministry's better. And it's not just me. It's every staff member. If you want our staff, you know, if you want our staff to be successful, a large part of it depends on you. If you want us to reach college students, for example, you want Brother Kelly to make disciples out of those college students, man, pray with your whole heart that God will give Kelly boldness to preach the gospel. If you want Josh to reach our youth and to see those kids saved and not just saved, but make disciples out of them so that when they go out into the world, they're reaching people, then get on the same level as Josh and pray for boldness. If you want Brother Mike, it's the same, Ken and Brother Michael and myself, all of us. And I mentioned this morning and I'm going to repeat it tonight. Can you imagine if we're all on the same, have the same desire, and we're all praying, God, give me boldness to speak the word in every situation. I believe with all my heart that that's the kind of prayer that God answers. Bible says, you have not because you ask not. You ask and you have not because you ask amiss, meaning that you heap it on yourselves with greediness. When we lay aside all our desires, what we think and what we want, and we say, God, open the door for me to be bold in speaking about Jesus for your glory. That's the challenge of the day. And I know there's a lot of this that repeats, that's repeating tonight that I said this morning, but I'm doing it for a reason, because we're going to have prayer time in just a moment. We're going to split up. We're split up in two groups tonight. Okay? This group and this group. Right? Brother Michael, I would ask you to lead this group. Okay? And we're going to have prayer time. And I ask each group to pick three people to lead in prayer. And I'm going to ask you this. Well, I said, Brother Michael, you lead this group. Brother Kelly, will you lead that group? Okay? Here's the parameters of our prayer time. There's no prayer for sickness. No prayer for sickness. Don't pray for me to be healed. Don't pray for anybody else to be. Sickness is not the point. All right? Pray for two things. Pray for boldness that you and I may proclaim Jesus boldly day in and day out. Second thing I want you to pray for. Pray that God will give this church the same heart and the same soul, so that our focus will be making disciples and sharing Jesus as a way of life. Now, within those parameters, you know, make your prayer request known. But my challenge is this. Tonight, let's pray. Then when we leave, you continue praying for those two things. And let's watch. Next Sunday night is business meeting. All right? But next Sunday night, I'm going to give you an opportunity to share what Jesus opened up to you to be bold this coming week. All right? When God does awesome things, we want to share. Amen? Okay? Tonight we're going to pray for God to open that door of boldness and for God to give us all the same heart and soul. Next week we're going to live it. Next Sunday night we're going to testify of it. Okay? Can we do that? Say amen? All right, I'm going to ask this side to go that way. Kelly, I'm going to ask you to come over here, and from here over, I'm going to ask you guys to lead. Pick out three people in the groups and pray. Everybody come together very closely so you can hear what's going on. All right? Pray for your church. Pray for your staff. Pray for one another. Pray for boldness. Pray for the church to have the same heart and the same soul.